Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Featured Artist Friday, ribbing it with Ryan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, get to the Orioles here in a second. Steve Mileski will be joining us. Bottom of the hour, get his thoughts on the new Orioles manager, Craig Albernaz. And Orioles will be getting a lot of thumbs up for this managerial hire. Not a big fancy name, which a lot of people want. Just because it's a fancy name doesn't mean it's the right decision. I mean, just look at the managers that have been hired. Patera down in D.C., you mentioned him, 33. Vitello, out of Tennessee in San Francisco. I mean, there's no Joe Maddens, Bob Melvin, Scott Services. Still going to wonder what San Diego and Atlanta, among others, are going to... Hey, Shelton goes back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
After getting fired in Pittsburgh, where he was a bench coach with the Twinkies, with, I think, Molitor and Baldelli. So none of these big names with great reputations are currently employed. And I was saying during the whole process, there's a reason they don't have jobs right now. I mean, Bob Melvin, granted, he played for the 89 Orioles, which was great. Also played for the Giants. So just because you have a relationship prior with an organization doesn't necessarily mean you might be the right fit. Like Ryan Flaherty. Mm-hmm. What's the hubbub with him right now? Not getting a job.
Yeah, I mean, I was hearing a little bit on that side of, might have been a little bit of miscommunication to start to get a hold of Ryan Flaherty, because the Cubs are still, you know, they were in the playoffs, and then the decompress after the postseason ends. And, you know, for Flaherty too, just like for Albernaz, I look at those two guys, which clearly Albernaz, for those that didn't hear about this, he turned down jobs last year. You know, and Flaherty then, why I say he's a hot candidate, there's been a lot of speculation that he will get a chance to be a team's manager. And if you have a choice, you want to feel like you're going to a good spot. So I think for Flaherty, it was a little bit slow to start, and then now trying to put the pieces together. But he doesn't have to be in a rush. If he likes Chicago and being there with Council, someone's going to want him next year in the value. And for Albernaz, that's what he did. You know, Stephen Vogt, Guardians, good culture. They believed what they were going to do. Craig believed he would be available the following year. And for those who are wondering, he turned down the White Sox and the Marlins jobs because he looked at their team and maybe the situation and said, you know what? I don't think that's a good fit for me right now. And then Craig, when the Orioles offered, he said, this is the place I want to be, because I think this roster and nucleus and team I can help take to the next level. So,
but aren't the Padres, I mean, it's a playoff team this year.
Yeah.
And the Braves, similar to the Orioles, you know, playoff success, world championship not that long ago, crushed by injuries. I mean, their entire five-man rotation coming out of spring training was on the 60-day IL by the end of the season. So the Braves, so there's some teams still looking for managers that are probably attractive destinations as well. And
Flaherty's got a relationship just recently with the Padres.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, if executives truly believe that Flaherty's ready to be a manager, like that he's ready for the day-to-day of it. And then, quite frankly, for Ryan Flaherty, for Flash, are you ready to do that and handle that pressure and expectation right now? You know, and people don't think about it in that regard. Well, why wouldn't you want to be a manager? Of course, I believe he wants to be, but if you are happy in a location, Chicago, there's a lot of support around the Cubs, you're learning from a great manager in my mind and Craig Counsell, then what is the rush? I think that is a deeper conversation. And for guys like Albernaz and for Ryan Flaherty, Bob, their first impression as a manager is going to be extremely important. And I'm not saying that he has to go out there and they need to win the first month or two, but if you don't have success in your first managerial opportunity, that could be your last. And I think for Flash, I think he's really looking at that component. And I think Craig says, I'm ready to prove that I'm the guy that Baltimore needs. So I think that's something to watch for.
Brandon Hyde interviewed for a couple of the jobs, San Francisco, I believe Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
And the Nationals, too.
And the Nationals. Yeah. So what's the chances, it might not be this offseason, but that Brandon Hyde does manage again, because this is a guy that, you know, has been the manager of the year twice by the Sporting News, once by the Baseball Writers. What about Brandon Hyde would maybe make teams reluctant to bring him in at this time?
Yeah, I think that Brandon Hyde will get an opportunity to be the manager again somewhere. This year, I don't know. The Nationals did make sense for a little bit. You know, he had been through a rebuild type of time, you know, was there. And then obviously we saw the success he's had over the years. And whether people like it or not, you know, the Orioles, the 2022 season, up until the beginning of last year, so 2022 to 2024, the Orioles had the most wins in the American League. So I think the timing's going to happen. I would be shocked, though, if it was this year, Bob. I think that Hyder might be sitting, might be just taking a step back. And what the telling sign for me, though, will be if he doesn't get a job, would he join someone else's staff this year? I don't see that either. I think that I could see Hyde being off and then getting right back in the mix next year.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Orioles have a new manager, but they still need a new bullpen, a new thumper in the middle of the lineup, a couple of new starting pitchers, and some other pieces to get back to the postseason after finishing last in 25. Ravens won two in a row, so we're all feeling great about that, right? Let's get out to the phones. Go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Bob and Ryan, man? How y'all doing today?
Doing all right.
How you
man?
Doing?
Hey, I'm all right, man. Y'all got me in baseball mode now, man. All this baseball talk, though. You know, so I guess I'm going to switch my topic now.
Whatever you want to talk. Just don't yammer on.
I ain't going to yammer on, man. I want Ray to get Ray be getting jealous and everything, man. Trippy always say he was a jealous guy, man, but I'm starting to believe it about that, Ray. But anyway, so with the Orioles, right? So this new manager they got, what happens to Tony now? Is he just back on the coaching staff still, or they get rid of him, or what? Like, how does that work?
Well, we're waiting to kind of see how it all unfolds. You know, they did announce that hitting coaches, plural, are not coming back next year. I think there's going to be some people involved, but I think Craig Albernaz also is going to have the right to bring in some guys that he wants. So I'm curious to see, but if I was going to have a gut reaction, I don't think Tony comes back because of that. That's a gut. The players love him, but that's a hard thing to be, hey, you're our interim guy. We like you, but you know what? We like this other guy better. Now you're going to work for that guy.
Right. You know? Yeah, I understand. It definitely makes sense. And far as like, I just don't see us how we going to ever compete, man. Because looking at the payroll that the Dodgers have, $350 million, and they still down in the World Series, but we're probably about to lose tonight. Like, how can we compete with that when they got all them pitches they paying? Like, they gave, what was Blake Snell's contract?
Like, 180 mil.
180 mil, right? And you look at the Blue Jays, right? They highest paid player was that, I'm drawing the blank, the guy from the Orioles. What was his name?
Kevin Gausman.
thought it was the guy that
Santander. Well, they just gave Vlad Jr. half $1 billion.
That's right. They signed Santander on that money. He's not even on the roster, and them guys are in the World Series. So it's like, man, we got to do something, you know, because I'm just tired of it. Listen, I was born in 85, so, you know, I ain't never sniffed a World Series for the Orioles goes, man, you know. So I would love to see one. Just go to 10-1 one day, man. But other than that, that's all I got, man. I'm going to let y'all go on. Let other callers.
All right, Rashawn. Here's Rashawn.
Appreciate you.
Has not seen a World Series. Well, they got to the ALCS three times during your life in 96, 97. The 97, they were the best team in baseball. That was stung. But and then 2014. But Toronto's not exactly cheap with the checkbook either. No. I mean, they paid a lot of well, Bo Bichette's going to be a free agent. Yeah. I don't know if they got enough to pay him, but Vlad Jr.'s making some dough. They signed Gausman. They've signed some other. They just signed Hoffman, who almost signed with the Orioles. Mm-hmm. Not like Toronto's living in the low-rent district either.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Springer, $24 million a year.
There you go.
Gausman, $23 million. Berrio, $19 million. Bieber now, $16 million to close out this year. They got a handful of guys that are making some dough. But, you know, you asked the question was, how can the Orioles compete? You know, the Blue Jays here, despite all these signings and spending money, and you mentioned that some of these guys are injured and they're still having success. Yeah, the Blue Jays are supposed to be one of the worst teams in the American League this year, at least in the East. The reason why they won games was not because their pitching was top tier. They were middle of the pack the entire year. It's that their hitting philosophy changed so much that it enhanced their game. The Blue Jays were the top hitting team in baseball average-wise, and in the postseason, except besides the first two games of the ALCS against the Mariners, they have been the toughest team to pitch against because they scratch and claw, they can beat you in so many different ways, and I think that right there, that philosophy, you take that with this young Orioles core, and they're able to identify and be like that, there's no reason. I'm with you, Bob, when you said the Orioles could go worse the first. The Orioles can do it, but they need to change how they play the game first before they take on the rest of the league.
We'll talk more about that with Steve Molesky. Bottom of the hour, you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Ravens, they've won two in a row. Very impressive, for the most part, mm-hmm. against the Dolphins. 28-6, Lamar Jackson is back, and boy, we felt that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
that impact. Dodgers trying to stay alive. Toronto trying to close it out at Rogers Center after taking 2 out of 3. Chavez Ravine. Ravens have won their second straight game this week, winning on Sunday at home against the Bears and then last night against the Dolphins. Ravens now 3-5 on the year and back to being the favorites, according to the odds makers, to win the AFC North, because everyone else kind of stinks at this point in time. Let's get out to the phones. Go get Cool C and Timonium. Cool C, what's up?
Okay, Bob, this is Disagree with Bob Haney Day.
Okay.
Bob Haney and your previous caller, yeah, always defer. You always defer. It's why over 90% of teams defer in the NFL. The kickoff in the second half is way more valuable than the first half. It's how the Ravens put the game away last night. You go in with a 14-6 lead. You take the ball to start the second half. The Ravens ran almost 8 minutes off the clock, scored. You up 21-6, and there's only a quarter and 7 minutes left in the second half. First half, the game is tied when you start the game. I don't care if you run the opening kickoff all the way back for a touchdown. You get 3 quarters and 10 minutes left to get it back. So it's much more valuable in the second half. You always defer. And taking it first, is you got to be stupid like the Dolphins were last night. Secondly, to think that the Orioles can go from worst to first like the Blue Jays is dreaming. I mean, the Yankees had 7 players hit over 20 home runs. The Blue Jays had 5 players hit over 20 home runs. The Red Sox had guys hitting over 20. Orioles didn't have a 20 home run hitter this year. No one. So, I mean, I don't know where this is going to happen, where we go, and they spend. The Red Sox are going to spend. The Yankees spend. The Blue Jays spend. The Orioles don't spend. So how are we going to go worst to first? I can't see it at all. I'm sorry. I would love to see it happen, Bob, but the cards just don't shake out.
Yeah, I think they'll. Well, I mean, I'm sitting next to a guy who's got a vested interest, at least family wise, in the ownership group of the Orioles. But I'm just talking Cool C, Gunner State. Well, he'll get back to 20 home runs. I'd be willing to bet money on that one. Westberg's a 20 home run guy if he's healthy. Kowser hit 20 plus his rookie year. Adley's hit 20 plus during his career. I don't know what you're getting out of Mountcastle here, if he's even on the team. But I think Mayo's shown some pop. Basayo's a guy that looks like he's got 20-plus power. I'm just talking about Cool C guys that are in the organization. And if Muscles O'Neal can, you know, just stay 120 games in the lineup, you're looking at 20-plus homers there.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
Thanks, Cool C.
Yeah, and appreciate the call. Look, the Orioles have to do a lot of things better. But for me, why they can, and I want to go back to 2023 when they were not supposed to win the AL East, right? The Orioles were 17th in the league in home runs. 17th in the league. They had 3 players hit over 20 home runs that year. I think it was Gunner, Adley, Santander, I believe was the 3.
Yeah.
3 guys. But they were top 10 in batting average. They were a top 5 fielding team in baseball. And in the second half of the season, their starting rotation with Grayson Rodriguez and Kyle Bradish humming, they were a top 5 ERA in the second half of the season.
I think they were number 1 with runners in scoring position that year.
And they were number 1 in comeback victories, which the Toronto Blue Jays did here. They were top 3. I don't have the record off the top of my head, but they were top 3 in baseball, or top 2, I believe, in one-run games. So, look, the Yankees, the Red Sox, they're going to be there for all the reasons. They got the boppers, they got the money, they got some dudes. But for the Baltimore Orioles, the reason why they won before wasn't because they had necessarily the overall better players. They did what they had to do to win games. And I think when you're talking about forming an identity for a ball club, you have to decide what you need to do. Stephen Vogt, which that's where Craig Albernaz is coming from, the Guardians, still is one of my favorite managers. I got to talk to him last winter meetings. And Bob,
yes,
a guy would not even address what his team did the previous year, which was win the Central, home field advantage, and then they lost to the Yankees in the ALCS. I said, well, what does that make you feel about your team in 25? He goes, "I the 24 is over. We got to find the identity of what we are right now. But one thing's for certain, with that team, with the future teams, we must find a way to win. So their identity is, I don't care how we do it, we need to win. For the Orioles, they got to find a way of what brand of baseball do they want to play. The Blue Jays found it this year. Their sample or their identity, be the toughest out you can possibly be and see where the chips fall where they may. And so far, It's worked out pretty well for them. They're one win away from the World
Series.
And you
talk about identities for the Orioles from 23 to 24. In 24, the Orioles finished second in the majors in home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Two behind New York, but they were terrible, especially in the second half with runners in scoring position. I mean, the Orioles in mid-June were probably the best team in baseball, and they were in first place at the All-Star break, and then just for whatever reason, cratered in the second half. And that malaise with runners in scoring position lasted through the second half of 24 and through all of last season. Situational hitting was bad, and has been for a while.
And if your identity is big ball, you know, and you're going to leave the yard. And look, I love a home run. I mean, you know who also loved a home run in Baltimore? Earl Weaver loved himself a three-run jack, right? The point being with this, whatever your identity is, well, you better be able to take that into the postseason. And here's the example, the analogy going from football to baseball. You know what they say plays in the winter times in the playoffs? Defense and running the football, right? If you can do those two things in the postseason, typically you're going to win football games when they matter the most. In baseball, it is situational play. Can you make it happen? Can you scratch and claw with two outs, two strike counts, and win that way? And to drive this point home even more, if your identity is a home run ball club, and you've won all year long, you can't expect that you're going to be this team that's going to win the scratch and claw games. The Yankees, the Mariners, the Tigers, three teams in the playoffs in the American League, all were huge home run teams. And the Mariners, guess what? It almost took them to the World Series. But how did it do it, Bob? They lived and died by the long ball. When they were going well, the ball was leaving the yard in a hurry. When they didn't, their offense went stagnant. The Blue Jays through and through have been the same team they were when they started opening day to now, and it's the biggest reason why they're the only team that's challenged the Dodgers as well, is because they are so hard to get out, and they can beat you in so many different ways offensively.
Ripping it with Ryan here on this Friday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, and Ryan Ripken. A couple of NFL tidbits real quick before we get the break. It's Steve Molesky joins us. Chris Greer out as general manager of the Dolphins. Mike McDaniel will remain head coach throughout the course of the season. Jade Daniels is back for the Commanders for the game against Seattle coming up. And number one pick in the draft, Travis Hunter, placed on the IR with a knee issue for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So some NFL stuff going on there. And LSU got rid of their AD a day after the governor of the state said he's not picking the football coach. Oh, by the way, his buyout, $6 million. Where's all that money coming from?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at Fidelity.com/Trader Plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
He's our colleague on 105.7 The Fan. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in Steve Molesky. Steve, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good. I hope you guys are.
Doing all right. Always great to talk to you. And Craig Albernaz is the new manager, and the news started to break, what, I guess Sunday night. That's when the leakage started to get out there. And, Steve, you've been doing this for a long time. He's not a big name that a lot of people are familiar with, so it's a crappy hire. But as we've done a little intel, what do you think of Craig Albernaz? Because all of the air quote expert types think the Orioles, no pun intended, hit a home run with this one.
That seems to be the case around MLB and the people that know him, Bob. And so I've talked to a couple people this week close to him, and it's just the same thing you're hearing, man. A thorough, great baseball guy who really was never made the majors as a player, was a backup catcher for a lot of his career, but really soaked up the game and has a lot of key people that, you know, sort of mentored him a little bit over the years. And while he doesn't have MLB managing experience, he's got a lot of experience in the game of baseball. Three pretty good organizations, the Rays, the Guardians, the Giants. And so, before someone else grabbed him, I think the Orioles did.
Yeah, you know, that was one thing, Steve, that I was, you know, looking at with this situation. Was Craig, you know, he turned down offers last year. He thought that maybe there was another team out there that, you know, maybe wanted his services. But I think that what's the most interesting with me is if this was maybe his only offer, he had other offers. The point being that he's a young manager coming into a team that has a young nucleus. And the biggest emphasis is going to be, how do you get the most out of it? I'm curious, Steve, what type of style do you think we're going to see from Craig? Because the background of the Rays and their philosophy is trying to win and win at all costs. And that's kind of what the Guardians are. Do you think we're going to see him bring that type of style? Or do you think we might see kind of a hybrid given how the Orioles personnel shakes up?
I think two things on that, Ryan. I think he's going to have to ride a line between developing a close relationship with the players, mm-hmm. as a manager in 20 and 25 would want to do, but also being able to call them out privately when the time comes. Almost no manager calls them out publicly, but you have to be able to bring him in when the time comes and say that, we don't do it that way, or we got to change what we're doing here, while still maintaining that relationship. It's a fine line to ride. If he can ride it, that's great. Second thing I think is he's coming from two organizations, in the Guardians and Rays especially, that are known for, that's a collaboration organization from the front office through the coaches, all for one, one for all. Not that that wasn't ever the case in Baltimore, but that's the kind of collaborative effort I think he'll want to build with Mike Elias and his staff. And it sounds like, based on his personality and his experience in the game, he'll be able to do that.
And that's what you ultimately want. You want the whole system to work as one. Now, when we just mentioned all that, the biggest thing for me, Steve, with this ball club is the philosophy of how you're then developing guys to go from the minors to the big leagues. And I think last year, when you're looking at 1 through 9, every player on the Orioles is capable of leaving the yard and has the power, but not every player is being classified to be a power hitter. You know, do you think maybe in this case we might see a little bit of a developmental change? Because, you know, I use Colton Cowser as an example. Colton Cowser has power to me, but I feel like he's being asked in the last couple of years to be something that his draft profile wasn't. He was a high average guy that had some power, but now it's a guy that sells out for power and strikes out a lot, right? Enrique Bradfield Jr. in the minor leagues, I don't want him to be a power hitter. He's fast. He can get on base, make things happen. Do you think that the Orioles might shift that approach with this, with Craig coming in? Do you see that as a possibility?
Well, that's what he did in Cleveland. He and his staff there. And I interviewed Jim Rosenhaus this week for my Substack, one of the broadcasters for the Guardians, and said, what was the impact of this guy the last 2 years? And he painted a really positive picture for Oriole fans. You know, he was big in the fundamentals and the defense. The Guardians played well. They were like seventh in defensive run saved out of 30. They played some small ball because they didn't have a power-laden team. They were 20th in homers, so they had to find ways to score that were not the long ball. And I think attention to detail, fundamentals, defense, advanced runners, bunt, steal bases. He controlled the running game in Cleveland, his catching background. They were third in the American League in caught stealing percentage by their catchers. So, I mean, all these things are winning those 90-foot increments that help make the difference between a 4-3 win and loss. And I think the Orioles need to get back to that. We've seen them do it in the past, but got away from him a little bit in 2025.
Yeah, the segment before you came on, Steve, I was just mentioning about you got to find what works for you, you know, and can the Orioles get back to winning this division and competing? You know, and Bob said it multiple times. He's made his proclamation that the Orioles can go worst to first, like the Blue Jays proved this year. And the biggest thing, though, Steve, the Blue Jays, you know, biggest change as a team was their hitting philosophy has been outstanding. They have been the toughest out in the postseason, and they have been the best offensive team on a sense of average from start to finish almost this year. What if you had a choice, Steve, if you were looking at this, what is one key aspect for the Orioles team that you would like to see be maybe a focal point going into 2026?
I think improve the strikeout walk ratio for the batters. Mm-hmm. They struck out too much. They didn't walk enough. And that's a bad combination. If you're striking out too much, maybe you're also walking. Well, they weren't. And so what you just mentioned with the Blue Jays, contact. Put the ball in play. Yeah, they got power, but they also don't strike out very much. And so they're tough outs. And we've seen the Orioles do that because in 23 and 24, those 2 years combined, they were fourth in the major leagues in runs scored. It got away from them at the end of 24, and they never got it back, as we know. And so is that injuries? The one thing the Blue Jays had happen this year, Ryan, and Vlad was not part of this because his stats actually decreased a little bit mm-hmm. from year to year over year, but most of them went up. And look at the Orioles. A friend of mine said to me the other day, every one of their key guys, they're going to need to produce better next year. You almost can't pick a guy and say, yeah, those stats work. I mean, maybe Holiday, and you're giving them the 21-year-old, you know, dispensation there. But most of those other guys, Gunnar included, who had a really good year, but not as good at 24, they can perform better. He's got to get that out of him somehow and then maybe work in these other things we talked about, a little small ball, you know, cut down the runners, more fundamentals. The caught stealing percentage goes up for the catchers, and all of a sudden, you know, 74 wins can turn into 94.
Steve Mileski, what's going on in your world as we head into this weekend here, Game 6 of the World Series tonight?
I'm still busy with my Substack, Bob. Fans can find me at steveonbaseball.substack.com. And today, I released a new podcast. I do about one a week. And I got a great guest, and the guest was Neil Solans, who's one of the broadcasters for the Tampa Bay Rays. Neil, back in the day, 2009 and 10, was broadcasting AAA Durham when this guy was playing for them, the new Orioles skipper. And so they go way back. They're longtime friends. He knew him as a player. He's seen him as a coach, and he kind of projected him as a manager in the podcast today, so I hope fans can give it a listen.
Steve Mileski, appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
There's Steve Mileski. We'll come back. Close out the show. Nolan McGraw is going to be joining us. We're ripping it with Ryan, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Ryan Ripken. Inside Access coming up at 2, World Series Game 6, 8 o'clock first pitch. Blue Jays going for the ring. Yamamoto 3-1 with a 157 in the postseason against Kevin Gausman, 2-2 with a 255. For LA especially, it's all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. Anyone who can throw a baseball is going to throw one if they have to. But what about Schneider? I mean, if you got an opportunity to finish things out, are you going to, I mean, you're going to need someone to pitch tomorrow, of course, if it gets to game seven. But if you're Schneider, by the way, the Blue Jays lead the league in Schneiders. Do you go for the juggler here? You're up 4-1 in the sixth. Do you just keep them coming to stem the tide against the Dodgers offense that's kind of gone sleepy time here lately?
Well, for the Blue Jays right now, the last two games of the year, it's almost a movie quote I always think, well, can't hold anything back now, right? And
right.
And I think for both teams, you can't hold anything back at this point in time. Now, the Dodgers, they might have to be a little bit more desperate where, for some reason, if they feel like there's trouble early, well, then you got to try to alleviate that fire before it gets out of control. But for the Blue Jays, yeah, you still want to treat it as, can you win this game? And do you need to exhaust the options? Like, if they got a shot, Bob, you got to go for the win in game six because there's no guarantee that you're going to win game seven. But you can be a little bit smarter. For Dave Roberts, you're going to have that hand of, do I trust the guy to get out of situations? Do I need to make a move here? Should be fascinating. But for Gausman throwing for the Jays, hey, this is a moment for him, you know, and this is the reason why he came there. Pitching big games, biggest moment. And if he pitches like he did the first five or so innings earlier this series and he's locked in, Jays are going to have a legit shot to close it out tonight.
And it's crazy, since the Orioles traded him to Atlanta, He got Cundiff there, got Cundiff in Cincinnati, reestablished himself with San Francisco, got the big payday in Toronto. And to your point, who knows? He could be a hero for Blue Jays fans for many years to come. Nolan, when we're talking on Monday, who's going to be the world champions of baseball?
I'm going to say the Blue Jays get it done in game seven.
Ah.
So to Dodgers tonight, Yamamoto has been exceptional. He doesn't have to go a complete game tonight, but knowing that bullpen, he might have to. But I think he'll go at least seven. There's a bold prediction for you. And ever so slightly outduels Kevin Gausman. I feel bad for Gausman. He's been fantastic in the postseason. No run support. I mean, Get this guy some runs. I think all three of his last starts, just one run has been scored by the Blue Jays in those games.
Yeah, and he's been victimized by the gopher ball. Gives up that home run at a crucial part. But to your point, Nolan, not exactly getting a lot of support. What do you think? World champions are going to be who?
I think that the Jays' identity is just so strong. I think they get it done. The only way the Dodgers pull this out, and it's, they very well could, some of their stars have to come alive that are not Shohei Ohtani or Freddie Freeman like in game three.
Where's Mookie Betts?
Yeah.
Mookie even said, dude, I've never heard Mookie Betts talk about how bad he is. Like, he said it after in the post game, I'm terrible. And I appreciate the honesty, but also if Mookie Betts is playing very well, the Dodgers are probably winning this series or it's over. That's how impactful it is. So Nolan, I'm with you right there. The Dodgers, if Mookie Betts has a big game in game six and he flips the switch, the Dodgers can come back and win this series. But they need other guys besides Shohei and Freddie to step up, because that's what the Blue Jays are doing. Vlad is on a bender, but the rest of their team is just picking up the pieces, and there's no easy out 1-9.
Prediction for tonight, Bo Bichette's deep.
Ooh.
Don't bet on it.
Proclamation. Declaration. Yeah.
Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com, thinks the Orioles should make a run at him.
Interesting.
Where the hell is he playing?
You have to move somebody.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I would. I mean, no, I'm not eager about moving Gunner.
No. Westbrook third.
Let's just say for the sake of a hypothetical here, you're going to get another star talent at shortstop. We'll move Gunner to third to accommodate both bats.
Listening.
Westbrook would then go to second.
What about Holiday?
Probably becomes trade bait at that point.
Oh, boy. What do you think, Ryan?
I mean, the whole thing's unlikely.
Yeah. And Peter's pointed, you need a right-handed bat I mean, he's raked at Camden Yards in his career. But
He likes playing here.
Yeah,
he loves Camden Yards. Also, I'll be curious if Bo Bichette stays at short, to be honest. Coming off the injuries.
A left fielder kind of guy? He got the arm. Well, if he plays shortstop, he's got an arm.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him. You know, he was trying to play second base in the World Series, obviously. I'm curious, guys. Nolan, you are stirring it up. It's not. Can the World Series end before we talk about who the Orioles may or may not
trade? I don't think
trade?
It's going to happen anyway. But you are going to need a big piece to get something good in return. I mean, you can't just send Heston Kerstad and a couple A-ball players to get Tarek Skubal.
No.
You know, I mean, got to give up something to get something.
And if I'm the Tigers, by the way, with all that, it still drives me nuts. The Tigers are going to compete to win the AL next year. You should keep your guy. If you want to win, you keep your guy. But if you don't, but hey, you know what?
Just don't let. Like Crochet last year, if he's moved, I'm Mike Elias. I'm pestering. Who do you want? Who do you want? Who do you want? To pick somebody on the major league roster that's not Gunnar Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want?
Sure.
Let's do this.
One more piece here before. Sorry, not to cut you off.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry. Right. I'm done talking anyway.
That's okay. Before the funhouse here, we'll do a quick one. This time last week, thought Lamar Jackson was playing. Then the whole injury report debacle went down. Well, here we are 1 week later. The NFL has reached a conclusion on the Ravens' punishment. This is from Adam Schefter. The NFL has fined the Baltimore Ravens $100,000 for violating the league's injury report policy. No draft pick loss. So just a little slap on the wrist to teams.
A little drop
nice.
In the bucket.
Oh, hey, we'll use one of those fifth-round picks for a little talking about trade piece, Nolan. How about that?
We got time for a funhouse?
Sure.
Quick Draws Funhouse. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 105.7 The Fan.
Sam and Rosedale not buying the Ravens just yet, or the Ravens' resurgence that's being discussed today. Wins over mediocre and horrible teams don't indicate the ability to do anything else but beat mediocre and horrible teams. I firmly believe the first above-average team they face will actually clean their collective clocks. Well, say that five times fast.
Well, they got nothing but until they get to New England, or New England comes here, mediocre and sub-500 teams. They're going to be favored in every game until Green Bay. So they should win these games. And you take them, and then you take your chances in January. Because
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, we didn't think they were even getting to 500, much less getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's less about a resurgence, just about, hey, win games to be in the conversation. And then you'll worry about if you're a Super Bowl contender once you've actually punched a ticket to the postseason.
And real quick, one more. This texter says, pass rush, still the major problem. They won't have the benefit of playing Tua Tagovailoa every week. He gave them a free sack last night by going down voluntarily. I think Green is improving, but even if he was great right now, they're not getting enough from the collective.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I think
Jabo got a half a sack, but, you know, that might have been a gift from the official scorer in that one. Eric DaCosta, we've talked about it for a couple of weeks. Trade deadline's Tuesday. They're going to have to get something, or at the very least, try. It takes two to tango, for sure.
Get more pass rush help, or get more creative with trying to get home to the quarterback. Hence, Kyle Hamilton, seeing him at the line. Maybe he got a blitz more. We'll see.
Going to do it for us. Ribbit it with Ryan. Ryan, it's always great to see you. Have fun this weekend. Happy Halloween.
Hey, happy Halloween to you too, Bob.
For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, Ryan Ripken, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next, followed by World Series Game 6. Stay safe, stay healthy, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday. For now, class dismissed.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.